God is good. He started several weeks ago talking about the reigning ones, those who are being sent from the throne to help the church enter into maturity, to bring us into all that God has in store for us. I don't remember what day it was. Just recently, when the Lord opened for me another vision, another understanding of what is directly ahead of us for the church. Oh, it was wonderful. It was amazing. Just when we think we have a complete picture, he opens a little more. I'm sorry, his presence is getting so strong up here again. I hope I can minister. Boy. There's such a yearning. My heart is so filled with yearning right now. I just feel like I could leave here very easily. I'll try to keep it together so I can share what the Lord has put upon my heart. Turn, please, to Matthew chapter 5. When the disciples were walking along the road to Emmaus, and the Lord joined them, they said, when he departed, did not our hearts burn within us? My heart has a flame that is burning so strong, I can hardly bear it. Anyway, these reigning ones are coming. They're going to help the church, bring the church into maturity, bring us into the life of the Spirit, so that we can know the good things that God has put within us, placed before us, rested upon us through Christ. The church has never been, ever, what God created us to be. We are so far below the standard of God. But he is not going to take his church out of the world without correcting that problem. When we go, we're going to go clothed in Christ, filled with Christ, animated by Christ. When we go, we're going to go as a bride who looks like her groom, acts like her groom, thinks like her groom. It's going to be a beautiful, beautiful picture to the world. The world will stand in awe. They won't know what happened to us. And we will stand in awe. Finally, and at last, the heart will be conformed to the image of the one who bought us. Loving, holy, humble, meek, walking in wisdom, walking in power, walking in authority, walking in glory. It's really going to be an awesome sight to see, and it's going to be an awesome thing to experience. We talked about the reigning ones, what they're going to be like, what they will do, how they're going to be able to do what they're going to do. Then we began to speak about being a seeker of God, and what is required to be a seeker of God. Then we moved on to the Beatitudes, to discuss what it means to be a disciple of Christ. Not all who are saved are disciples of Christ. As I've shared before, some love the Lord. They're bought by His blood. They will die and go to heaven when it's all over. But they are disciples of men. And you can never get into the depths of God being a disciple of man. The reason that the church continues being a disciple of its leaders is because they want to avoid the cross. To go into God, go deep in God, I'll never forget. The Lord took me one day up to heaven. I found myself standing there. How many of you know A.W. Tozer, who he is? I just love him. I love him so much, and I always have, is from the earliest days of my salvation, because he has such a heart after God. And so he took me up to heaven, and there I'm standing. In front of me is A.W. Tozer. I am amazed. Amazed, overwhelmed, struck silent, and so deeply thankful that I am getting to see this incredible man. And he said to me, he said, "You really love Jesus, don't you?" I said, "With all my heart, I do. I want him so bad." He said, "I know you do. But I want to tell you a secret. To walk with God the way you want to walk with God, you have to go through this." And he picked up a book. And on the front of the book, it was like an old book, you know, like a book that you would expect to get out of a bookstore, an ancient book, something maybe that was written back in the 1800s, you know, that kind of cover. And on the face of the cover was a white cross. He said, "In order to walk with God the way you want to walk with Him, you have to be willing to go through this." And he pointed at this cross on the front of this cover. And I looked at it, and I looked back at him, and you could tell by my eyes that I was needing him to help me understand what he was trying to say. And he said to me, "Do you understand?" And I said, "No, I don't understand." He said, "To walk with the Lord the way you want to walk with the Lord, you have to go through the crucifixion by the Holy Spirit. And that means walking through the cross. You walk up, you know, walk up the Via Dolorosa to the cross. That's where many stop. We have to walk through the cross and let the cross crucify us to the world and the world to us." So I just looked at him. He said, "Are you willing?" I said, "I am. I am. But I'm afraid." Said, "That's all right. Just stay willing." And that's what it means to be a disciple. That's what separates the disciples from the seekers. Many can seek God and never find Him in this life. Many can seek God and find Him, but never know Him in this life. But there are those seekers who must become disciples. They're compelled to become disciples. They must go beyond nominal Christianity. Christianity today, no matter how wonderful it may seem, no matter how busy we may be for Jesus, Christianity today is not what God ever dreamed it would be when He created the church. As I've shared with some of you in the past, the Lord spoke to me. I was standing before Him, and I asked Him, what is the one thing that, I can't remember the exact words I used, but something like, what is the one thing that breaks your heart greater than any other? Something of that nature. And He said to me that the church has never arrived at full stature as listed in Ephesians 4, which is the fullness of Christ. Well, I mean, I was struck dumb. My heart was so broken by that. I understood exactly what He was saying. I also understood, not being there, how in the world can we get there? I understood that the church lacked the essential wisdom on how to get there. I didn't know what to do about the dilemma. My heart was broken as I stood before Jesus. And I thought, I've got to hear something positive from Him. There's got to be something that He can say to me that will help me know what to say to the church. So I said to Him, Lord, what is the one thing that brings You the greatest pleasure? And He said to me, I am going to send the Jubilee anointing as listed in Isaiah 61. And it will do what you cannot do. Now, what is the Jubilee anointing? Jesus Himself said, in this day, at the hearing of this, this is being fulfilled. And He bore the Jubilee anointing Himself. But there is a restoration of that coming to the church. You might say it's here and it's very minutest at this time. This visitation with the Lord was many years ago. But very minutely. So minutely, it's not even worth hardly mentioning. What does the Jubilee anointing, what is the most critical aspect of the Jubilee anointing? It is not healings. That is very low on the scale of value to this great grace that God is bringing to the church. It's not even miracles. But the greatest value of this gift, this anointing, this grace that's coming to the church is, now listen to me, that it will bring you to places in God nothing else can. It will cut the chains off your soul. It will bring you out of the prison of self. It will strip away the depression, the oppression, and birth in you, explode in you, the joy that will lift you above the storms of life. It will transform your soul. This anointing, when it's moving in its highest efficacy, will take you to places in God that will allow you to experience walking and living in Christ and He in you. Wow. It will translate you. It will bring you into the transfiguration that we saw in Christ that day on the mountain. This is what the fire is for. This is why He put the fire around my heart. He wants you to know there's something greater coming. Don't look at the promises with today's grace. Don't look at what he wants to do with today's virtue, but look at it knowing that there is a grace, a virtue, a power, an authority that is coming to the church that is going to enable you to have what you never dreamed you could have this side of heaven. All he's doing today is whetting your appetite. He wants to make you so hungry for the deeper, for the higher, for the greater, for the pure, the more noble. He wants to make you so hungry that everything on this earth will pale compared to what you can have in Christ. It's a fire that he's sending. He's sending a fire. He's sending a fire into the heart. He's sending a fire deep into the soul. He's sending a fire to cleanse the mind, purge the soul, that it can receive the power and the glory of the Jubilee anointing to be transformed into the image of Christ. All he's doing today is trying to whet your appetite. Whatever you have ever known about Christianity before pales to what is coming. You've been walking at kindergarten level. He wants to take us clear up to the college level of walking in Jesus. It's time. It's time. It's time. It's time to arise out of our stupor. It's time to arise out of our sleep. It's time to arise out of the affections of the world and to go deep in Christ, where there is abundant life, where the glory is so great that the natural eye cannot bear it. He wants your mind exploding in the light. Bob Jones once said, God's going to rewire our brain, and he's going to rewire it with light. Yeah! With light and revelation and understanding and wisdom and knowledge of the Holy One. He's going to rewire our brain. He's going to fix the heart. He's going to give the church a new heart, a heart for heaven, a heart for the things of God, a heart for the things of the kingdom, a heart for running after Jesus, running into Jesus until you know Jesus. The way you were created to know him. The day for knowing the stories of Jesus are coming to an end. And in their place is going to be walking in him and living the stories you once heard. It's an awesome thing to know that you know truth. It's an awesome thing to know that you have been chosen by God to know truth. The world is a lie and everything in it. That's the truth. And it's an awesome thing to know that he has allowed your eyes to be opened, your ears to be opened, your heart to be opened to hear truth and to recognize it when you hear it. What is going to happen the day that the church is moved from knowing truth to becoming truth? Everything will change. I wish I could put in you what I'm feeling right now, because I'm telling you, I'm not on this plane right now. He put something inside of me a few minutes ago that it feels like the kingdom of God is burning in my bones. It's burning in my soul. It's like the kingdom is alive. Living. in an incredible animation inside of me. The time to sit back and listen to what the prophets are saying so that you know something about the kingdom is quickly coming to an end. It is too critical. It is too important. You must live in the kingdom. You must live the life of the kingdom from it's got to become your essential life. Yeah. It's got to, you've got to go beyond knowledge. Transfiguration, that's all I know to call it, transfiguration. The church must go through transfiguration. We must. Where we become one with truth. Where we become one with the kingdom. Where we become one with the Son who owns all things. We must arise out of this dysfunctional Christianity into Christ reigning, ruling, glorious Christianity. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Christ in me, the hope of glory. The revelation of the living Christ. This is what God is bringing to his church. This is what he's preparing his people for. You know, he said in the world is tribulation. But what do we care about the tribulation of the world? We're not concentrating on the tribulation of the world. Because our soul is to be filled with to capacity. Filled to capacity. Transfigured in Christ. Ruling and reigning from the throne. Walking above the tribulation. Whatever transpires here must. It's part of the birth pangs. It must happen. But the church has been created to walk above it. And to bring forth the kingdom of God to the earth. The birth pangs are accomplishing one thing. But through the church, God wants to accomplish another thing. The two working together. Purging the world and bringing forth the glorious. They must walk side by side. Well, not side by side. The tribulation of the world must be beneath. The church must be above. I'm sorry. I wish I could give you a tablespoon. Just a tablespoon. Because it is so awesome what I'm experiencing. It feels like the transfiguration is going on inside of me. And I'm not saying it lightly. It feels like light is overtaking the darkness of the soul. Light. The light of God. I'm not trying to be strange. I'm not trying to be super spiritual to you up here tonight. I'm just telling you something dramatic is happening inside of me, but it's for you. It's for you that I can speak to you under the authority of this light. Release your hearts. Allow yourself to be lifted up into the light. Allow yourself to arise on the wings of the light that he wants to give to you. Allow him. It's the sword of the Lord. It's the sword of the Lord. It's the sword of the Lord that is doing a work. It is cutting asunder between soul and spirit. Let him do it. Let him do it. Let him cut asunder between soul and spirit, that the life can enter in, that the light can enter in, that the truth can own and possess you. Let the angel of the Lord affect a work tonight. Let the light that is going forth from his sword pierce you and cut asunder between soul and spirit. Ask him, Lord, do it to me. Cut asunder. Cut it, Lord, between soul and spirit, so that your light can enter into my soul. Ask him to do that for you right now. Say it with passion. He wants to dilute the darkness. He wants to cut it out like a cancer and replace it with the light of truth, with the light of his kingdom. He wants to breathe into you his life. He wants to breathe into your hearts the light to captivate your heart, to take you into understanding of his word that maybe you've never had before. Not with your mind, not with your intellect, but with your spirit, with your heart. Get the gospel out of your head and into your heart. This is what he wants to do. He wants to explode his light into your heart. Tell him, enlighten my eyes, Lord. Enlighten the eyes of my heart, that I may know the hope to which I have been called. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord, by the piercing of your sword. Oh, that my soul would rise up and say, all hail, King Jesus. Take your throne. Let the light of your glory illuminate the darkness of our soul, Lord. Let the light of your glory go deep, piercing the innermost man. Your word says you desire truth in the inward parts. Oh God, let the light of your truth pierce our inward parts, illuminating our darkness. Will you hunger and thirst? Will you hunger with a genuine hunger? Will you thirst with a genuine thirst? Is there a hunger? Is there a thirst for more of God? Is there really? Then abandon every hindrance that is keeping you from Jesus. Let the hunger well up until it becomes a flaming passion. Don't only let it provoke it in your heart. Don't be passive, but be vehement like a flame. I've got to help you. I've just got to help you. I've got to help you. I don't know if I'll speak any more tonight or not, but I got to lay hands on you. The Lord wants to send his sword of his truth into you. He wants to do a work in your soul tonight. Please, those of you who want it, come quickly. Let's minister to the women first and then to the men. Tell him, I want it, Lord. I want the light to pierce. I want it to go deep inside of me, cutting asunder between soul and spirit. I want it to go where I can't make it go. Let your sword of truth go in.